Some housekeeping to start with. Chairman's notices. Draw your attention to the notices on page 30 of the agenda. The meeting is being recorded. In the event of the fire alarm going off, follow the green little men. Health and safety, be aware of different levels in the council chamber. And the meeting is being monitored on CCTV. Okay. Apologies for absence.
Don't have any, Chairman.
None. Confirm the minutes of the meeting on the 19th of March.
Agreed.
Good. Disclosure of interest. To disclose existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests and non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6(8) included of the Code of Conduct for members, but also reminded to disclose any interests if you become aware of them throughout the meeting. Any disclosures? No? Right. Before we get going, with slight change of the agenda, item 10 is now 11, and item 11 is now number 10. Don't ask me why. Right. Agenda item 5, the role of the Audit Committee.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, everyone. This is a short training about the role of the Audit Committee. We have a more comprehensive training session on audit, which I'm sure that you're all looking forward to, and that is part of the Members Development Programme. And a date has not been set yet, and once we've got a date, then we'll certainly let you know. So let me just do a bit of an introduction to the team for the benefit of new members. So we've got Angie here, who's our Audit and Fraud Manager, and we've got Bibi at the back, who's our Interim Auditor. So, right, and apologies if you already know about this, apologies if you've heard it all before.
It's Andrew, your namesake is Andrew sitting over there.
Yeah, who's the...
Everybody else knows all the people, you know Andrew as well, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's the introductions done.
Yep, thank you, Chairman. Okay. Now, the scope of the role of the committee tonight that we're going to cover are highlighted on that slide, which I'll just go to the next one. And I'll cover this legislative framework, the most interesting one. So there are a range of legislative framework that are bound by the various different acts. First one is Local Government Act 1972, in particular Section 151. Now, this legislation sets out the standard that the Council must meet in order to provide an internal check on our Council's financial affairs. And under this Act, every local authority needs to appoint a Section 151 officer, and this Council is lucky enough to appoint me to make sure that arrangements... it's not supposed to be funny, actually. To make sure that arrangements have been put in place for proper administration of our accounts and our financial affairs. And I've got the power to report to this committee if there are any... if there are any unlawful expenditure to be reported to this committee, which I hope that I won't be doing that over my coming years. The next legislation is Accounts and Audit Regulations 2015. That sets out a range of regulations that the Council needs to follow, which includes internal audits, evaluation of the risk management, control and governance. We've got to produce a statement of accounts and annual governance statement, which needs to be approved by the Audit Committee. Finally, we've got the Local Audit and Accountability Act 2014. Some of you might have recorded back in August 2010, the government announced their intention to close the Audit Commission, which would create a new arrangements for auditing bodies for England. And the prime sort of purpose of that is to reduce costs. So in the future, every local authority will have the power to appoint our own external auditors. At the moment, we've got the contract with our new contractor, with our new auditor, Ernst & Young, which will follow from BDO's final year's count here. And that contract is supposed to last until March 2017. The government will have the ability to extend that for 3 more years, so that would take us 2020. At the moment, the LGA is very keen to adopt for the extension, and they are currently seeking views from local authorities whether to concur with that view. And you know, from our point of view, it makes sense for the extension to you know, to go beyond 2017. Again, you know, any further changes would obviously would be reported back to this audit committee. I'll now pass the to
Angie for the next slide.
Thank you. Okay, so you have in front of you there the definition of internal audit as in, contained within the public sector internal audit standards. So I'll just go over a couple of the words in there. Independence refers to the reporting position within the organisation, and this is backed up by the Audit Committee Terms of Reference and financial regulations, which allow reporting directly to members and the Chief Executive. Independence also refers to the avoidance of conflicts of interest, and so if auditors perceive in the course of their work that there may be a conflict of interest, then they take action to avoid that. Objectivity is a frame of mind and the approach to auditing, so it's a very systematic process to ensure that we gain sufficient, accurate information which supports our conclusions. Assurance is about the independent and objective review of the activities in order to give that unbiased opinion at the end of the day, an opinion which anybody else looking at the same information would be expected to draw. And reference there to consulting activity. So sometimes the function provides advice and guidance on new systems of control. And this can be at the outset rather than waiting until everything is in place, which is the sensible approach. It doesn't itself preclude an internal audit review at some point in the future. But again, as I said earlier, any conflicts of interest are to be avoided. Thank you. Okay, so the next two slides give a bit of an outline of the audit committee. So the role there on the first slide, these are included within the audit committee terms of reference, which identifies the constitutional arrangements and meeting arrangements, and reinforces the arrangements, as I said earlier, for independence, and makes provision for the committee to require any officer to attend meetings to provide information in related to reported matters. So that's that first slide there on the audit committee is just a summary of the overall role of the committee. The second audit committee slide is outlining some of the committee duties. So again, all of the duties are included in the audit committee terms of reference. The committee receives information from a variety of sources, including internal and external audit, and this information supports the committee's annual assurance report to the council. So officers will schedule everything in accordance with those terms of reference, but nothing stops you as members from requesting additional information in line with your scope, and obviously that scope is about independent assurance relating to risk management, internal controls and governance. So if there's anything you believe you need as members to support you in that role, then you are able to request additional information. But I would ask that you keep it proportionate and keep your focus on areas of key importance. So all the duties are built into the programme of work, which Carl will take you through now.
Thank you. Right, we've got quite a comprehensive 15-16 work programme, which was approved at the last committee. Some of the standard items that you would get every quarter are performance against the internal audit plan, The risk management report that's reported every quarter on our corporate risk and the scores and likelihood of that. You will also receive an annual opinion from Angie about our systems of internal control, which will then feed through to the annual governance statement, which are both of those items are on this evening's agenda. And also you would be delighted to receive the statement of accounts, which is quite a comprehensive document, and you will get that around September this year, and obviously Andrew's external audit reports, which are very important, and also you would also receive audit committee annual report, so that's an annual report that you would actually report back to council about this committee. And obviously for 15-16, you will obviously have a chance to contribute to the internal audit plan for next year. I'll pass it back to Angie.
Get through final slide.
Thank you. Okay, the last one. So you've got this in a slightly larger print. Okay, so the audit committee role is to maintain an oversight and to monitor the effectiveness of internal controls, risk management processes, internal audit activities and governance. So to do this, the committee needs to have a clear overview of the risk and control framework. This model, this three lines of defence, is a very commonly used model. It explains the different levels of controls that you see within any organisation and demonstrates where the structure and roles and responsibilities and accountability for decision making and so on fit together, and how the combination of those helps to achieve the effective governance, risk management and assurance. So that first line of defence relates to management control. So this is functions that own and manage risk. So it's the operational management, if you like, have the prime responsibility for ensuring the controls exist within their functional areas, and that those controls are fit for purpose and that working as intended. The second line of defence relates to the functions that oversee those risks, so including functions such as human resources and finance and so on. So these parts of the organisation set the policy and direction, define the boundaries and give some assurance as to the effectiveness of the controls. The third line of defence is internal audit, or any function that provides independent assurance. So this is independent challenge of the levels of assurance provided by the operational and oversight functions. So overseeing all of those areas, you've got senior management. And then overseeing that, you've got the audit committee. So you can receive information from any of these sources to support your overall opinions. Then outside the organisation, we obviously have the external auditor, who is, again, even more independent. And if there are any regulators involved in the council's activities, then they also obviously sit outside the organisation and again provide independent assurance. So that's a little summary. From this, it's obviously clear that good communication and good working relationship between the audit committee and management and internal audit and external audit is crucial to the effectiveness of the assurance arrangements within the authority.
Thank you. That's us done. Anybody with any questions? I just got one. On the internal audit, on the slide at the bottom of page 2, it says add value. Is it possible to quantify the added value?
That's a good question. Right, what we do when we're designing our internal audit plan, we seek to ensure we audit the areas of priorities, so those that are of key importance, whether it be in terms of greatest risk, priorities for the council, key objectives and things like that. So we seek to put our effort where it's of greatest benefit to the authority. So in the adding value, it's about helping the authority to ensure it achieves its objectives and ensure that it's aware of anything which might hinder achievement of those objectives.
So you couldn't say the internal audit function saved the council £50,000?
The internal audit function is just one part of it. So if internal audit is identifying anything which is a concern, there's obviously a combination of internal audit and management which help to resolve those issues. Right. So we wouldn't seek to take full credit for anything because management are the ones that are responsible for implementing the controls.
Thank you. Can anybody name one of the seven Nolan principles? That's your homework between now and the next meeting. 2 points for correct answer. I'll give you a start. Sorry?
Check them in the black book.
That will be on the audit training as part of the members' development programme.
Integrity is one.
I think we tested Council McKenzie on this a few days ago.
Yeah, you should.
This is turning out to be a fail.
Okay then, thank you very much. Right, where are we? Agenda item 6, quarterly review of corporate risk.
Yep.
The Director of Resources.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. This report is in two parts. Part one is the usual quarterly review of the corporate risk register, and this is the reporting on the quarter four performance. As highlighted in paragraph 2.2 of this report, no risk scores have changed since the last report to the audit committee, and all of the details of the corporate risk register, that's appended in appendix one. It should be noted that the quarter four review was considered and approved by the corporate leadership team. Part two of the report relates to the 15-16 corporate risk register. Now, the register was developed after a major zero-based review, which was done in conjunction with members, which because we held a member seminar on the 9th of April, which some of you might have turn up at that event. The new corporate risk register is contained in Appendix 2, and this will be monitored by this committee throughout 15-16. This committee is asked to note the content of this report. Happy to take any questions.
And we've been asked to note 6I and 6-2Is. Is that noted?
Noted.
Thank you. Right, agenda item 7, the review of the risk management policy. I did ask if this could be noted where it's been changed from last time, but that's not technically possible.
Yep.
Track changes and all that.
Yeah, we have tried, but because we've moved some of the paragraphs around, so that's why it would become quite messy if we were to present that as a track change document. So the risk management policy, this sets out the council's approach to the way that the council identifies and manages our risk. The policy is reviewed every 2 years. As highlighted in paragraph 2.1, this is broadly similar to the one that was approved 2 years ago back in 2013. There's just been some minor amendments, and most of those actually relate to job title changes following the senior management review. So the committee is asked to agree this policy, and which will then be put forward to council for adoption. So happy to take any questions.
Councillor Pratt.
Thank you, Chairman. I struggled because the report said it was similar, and I couldn't find where the dissimilarities were. But should this include some paragraph that refers to training somewhere? Because we spend an awful lot of time training, and the policy doesn't cover it at all, unless I've missed it.
Okay.
That's a very good point, a valid point. I can certainly add a paragraph in relation to training. There's no problem about that.
Yeah, I think roles and responsibilities would probably be a bit where you could put training.
Yep, no problem.
Is that agreed?
Agreed
amendment? Any other questions? Right, so we're asked to agree Appendix 1, agreed, and to the Council that we're recommending that the risk management policy, as amended with the training paragraph, be adopted. Is that agreed? Thank you. Right, Agenda Item 8, Review of Data Quality Policy. Oh, no, not a policy, is it? Yes, it is, yes, yes.
Thank you, Chair. The Council's data quality policy sets out our expectation for data quality across the organisation, and in particular it sets out the areas of responsibilities for different tiers of staff, and this is to ensure that the data that we report are accurate and fit for purpose. So it's highlighted in paragraph 2.1, the policy is very similar to the one that was approved previously, and minor changes have been made to job titles, which follow the senior management review. So this committee is asked to approve the data quality policy and recommend that to Council for adoption. Happy to take any questions?
Again, we're asked to agree Appendix 1 and recommend to Council that Appendix 1 is adopted. Agreed?
Agreed.
All right. Appendix 9, Accounting Policies Update and Statement of Accounts.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. Purpose of this report is to notify the committee the accounting policies that will be used for the 14-15 statement of accounts. It is good practice for the policies to be approved by this committee prior to the approval of the statement of accounts, which will be done in September. So Appendix 1 contains the accounting policies, and there are no major changes compared to the ones that was used last year, but we have used the opportunity to review some of the wordings that's been used whenever we were able to do that, and we have consulted with our external auditor, Andrew, prior to this report. So this committee is asked to endorse the accounting policies as shown in Appendix 1. Happy to take any questions?
I just got one. Yeah. Why isn't there any data control sheet to go with this policy? All the other policies have got what I would like to call a drawing control sheet. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't seem to have one.
Yeah, this policy, the accounting policy is actually formed as part of the statement of accounts, and we need to review those every year anyway as part of the statement of accounts production, so it's slightly different compared to the other policies.
Councillor Pratt.
Page 2 of 13, Chair. Could I have an explanation what amortisation of intangible assets attributable to the relevant service actually means?
Whereabouts are we?
It's after charges to revenue of four. It's the one, the second subhead, and it's the third point. Is it possible to write that in like proper what I understand English?
Apologies for the technical knowledge in this, because this is the accounting treatment. This is very similar to depreciation. If you understand the principle of depreciation, so this is i.e. depreciation.
Amortization of intangible assets.
Yes. For intangible assets, we have to call it amortization, but it's the same as depreciation.
An intangible asset is
knowledge.
For example, software, IT software. So that's a good example.
Something you can't put a label on, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
If you can't stick a label on it, it's an intangible asset. Now you learned something tonight.
I may come back.
More than welcome to.
Right, okay then, so we're... hang on, I've lost my place. We'd ask to endorse Appendix 1. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Right. We're now on... Is this the one that was 11, isn't it?
Yep.
We're on... On your book, yeah, you're on. We're on 11, but on the agenda it's 10. Right. Who's director? Oh.
Andy.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so this report presents the performance against last year's internal audit plan and the opinion arising from the 14-15 internal audit work, and it also provides progress to date in respect of the current year's internal audit plan. So Appendix 1 outlines for the 2014-15 internal audit plan the audits that were completed and started and not started. At the end of that appendix, you'll see a breakdown of the audits that were originally included in the internal plan but not commenced during that year, and an explanation as to ways in which the risks identified in those areas have been mitigated. Appendix 2 summarises the findings from audits which were completed since the last report to this committee in March. The first four items are main financial systems, and the work in respect of those was simply to identify the key controls, and our external auditors did more detailed testing in relation to all of those items. The last item was a proactive anti-fraud checks audit, and that identified substantial assurance for the areas tested. Appendix 3 is the report of assurance gained from the 14-15 internal audit work. So it summarises the operation of the internal audit team, the quality of the function and how that's assessed, how the audit plan is determined, how issues are escalated, and significant findings. Controls assurance is also included in there. So this is the control risk self-assessment that is undertaken by services, and their views as to how well they believe their controls are operating. There's a reference to an update on the previous year's annual governance statement. And then at the end of that, risk management and the overall opinion. And Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions.
Councillor Downs.
Well, Chairman, all I would say is, considering we have such a small audit, internal audit team, in fact, for much of the year, I think it's been one, I think we've done pretty well.
Yes.
I think there's a very good, comprehensive list. There's been a lot of work completed, and I think the team, albeit team of one, need a pat on the back.
I mean, we'll manage that, please. All right. Any other questions or comments? Right, we're asked to note the internal audit plan, to note the audit and fraud manager appendix, and also the internal audit plan. Noted. Thank you. Number in what is 11 on yours, but 10 on the agenda. Pity anybody who's trying to follow this on the sound recording. draft annual governance statement.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies for the made notice on this, the order of the agenda. The main purpose of that is so that the members can consider Angie's report about her opinion, because that report is being used to inform the annual governance statement, so it sort of makes sense for that report to be approved prior to the annual governance statement. And the purpose of the AGS is to provide the assurance that the Council's on the Council's governance framework that is effective and adequate. A copy of the AGS is listed in Appendix 1. And if I could highlight on page 9 of the appendix 1, so paragraph 5.1, obviously the some of the significant governance issues that's already highlighted in the corporate risk register, the one which is not quite on there is listed as number 1 financial and financial capability and visibility of the council. Obviously the council is still exposed to very uncertain financial climate in terms of government funding. We won't, currently there's a £555,000 budget gap to close for future years. And obviously depending on the budget announcement on the 8th of July, the gap could could be worse. One of the mitigating actions that we've done is that we have pulled the budget setting process forward. So we have actually done a budget scrutiny exercise, and also we've asked officers to come up with headline initial savings ideas, which both of those will be reported to the forthcoming members seminar on the budget, which is scheduled to take place on the 13th of July. So happy to take any questions, and the committee is asked to approve the annual governance statement, which will then be signed by the chief exec and the leader of the council. Okay.
Any questions? On the page 9 of 9, there is a typing error in the last paragraph. I think that should say good progress has been made rather than good process has been made.
Well spotted. Thank you.
So we're asked to approve appendix 1 and that the government statement be certified by the leader and the chief executive. Agreed? Thank you. Agenda item 12, anti-fraud and corruption policy. Who's taking this?
Angie.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so the previous policy was approved by this committee, and what you have before you today is simply an update of that policy to reflect structural changes relating to the organisation. Again, Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions.
Charles. Any comments on the anti-fraud and corruption policy? Or asked to note that? Okay then, noted. Agenda item 13, external audit progress report to those charged with governance, May 2015. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. This is our regular report to the Audit Committee, just to outline where we are in the annual audit cycle. So now, obviously, you've now closed down...
Sorry.
You've now closed down the financial year for 2014-15 has now finished, and your finance officers are in the process of producing the statement of accounts, which will be approved before the end of this month. Signed off by the Director of Resources. We're then, as the report says, we're due to come in from the 6th of July to begin our work on actually reviewing what they've reported in the financial statements, and then we'll bring back our findings from that work to this committee in early September. So in terms of the cycle of the audit, we are where we'd expect to be at this point in time. But I'm happy to take any questions from members if members have any at this point.
Any questions on the external audit? I notice they're all green. And we're asked to note the report. Is that noted? Oh, sorry, Peter. Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Chairman. I wonder if BDO would like to explain why they've got two people with a pair of binoculars on the front of their...
That's a very, very interesting question.
He's looking to the future.
I'll be in by the future. We'll be looking at the past, couldn't we? No, in the past that they were.
I think that's the reason there's two people. I think there's mentioned one person looking forward and one person looking back, although they are looking in the same direction. Yeah. So we do our work generally is in the main backward-looking, checking that things have gone well in the past and everything's been reported correctly. But there's an element which also looks forward in terms of how you're progressing towards your goals and objectives and the plans you're making for the future to make sure you're going to be sustainable going forward, which we report as part of our value for money work. The real answer is it's just part of our, for some reason, it's part of our corporate vision identity, is that there's always two, whatever objects are there are in our visualisation, there's always two of them. And they have to interrelate in some way, but I don't know the reason why.
Looking in the wrong end of the binoculars.
Yes, yes.
An external auditor would, wouldn't it?
He looks at things in finer
detail. Right, we've been asked to note the report.
Noted.
Yes, noted. Thank you. Well, that concludes the meeting. There are no other items of urgent business that I've decided are urgent. So I'll close the meeting at 8:05.